sentence, verse, if you want to call it, found in Psalm 74. You don't have to turn to it. Just simply says, "Thou hast made summer and winter." You know, you'll read something like that and you say, "Yeah, okay, of course. Yeah, God made everything, you know. He made summer and winter. Sure." But there's so much. If you stop, you know when the word says study to show thyself approved? That's what it means. Study the word. Don't just read it and gloss over it. But try and think. Ask God through the power of the Holy Spirit, what is it you're really trying to tell me? Okay, so it says, "Thou, you have made summer and winter." You know, today is December 1st. For me, December 1st is the official start of winter. Now, I know it's not really. It's really something like 9:45 on December 22nd. Something like that, you know. It's the, I think they call it the winter solstice. And I looked that up this morning. I was wondering, you know what it is? It's when the Earth's equator is exactly at the center of the sun. Okay, that's the most direct line, and it happens, I believe, twice a year. And I don't know if it's in June. No, it's actually something like March and September. Okay, and that's what gives us our seasons. It's the movement. So I know it's really the 22nd, but for me, and it sure felt like it this morning, when I got a winter's here, okay? I walk in my den and I look at the thermostat and it shows the outside temperature. I says, "What are you kidding me? What we just had all those beautiful warm days? Well, winter's here. Winter's here." You know what? I love the fall. For me, the fall is probably my most favorite season. You know what? The temperatures started to cool down late September. All right, it's got a little drier. The humidity levels come down. The mosquitoes finally start dying off. Anybody have a lot of problems with mosquitoes this year? They were horrible. Well, maybe, yeah, I don't know. My yard, I couldn't walk out to bring the garbage out without coming back in with two or three mosquito bites. It was insane. I even got a company. I have a company, I think it's Terminix, who I've had for years. They come and they go around the foundation of the house to keep in, you know, bugs and ants and whatever from coming in the house. And I know the guy, a young guy. In fact, he's a Christian. We always talk about the Lord when he comes around. And I says to him, I said, "Man," I says, "you find other people having a big problem with mosquitoes?" He says, "Yeah, everybody is." He says, "You know, we have a mosquito service too." I says, "You're kidding." I says, "I've called Mosquito Joe a couple of times." He said, "Well, no, well, we do the same thing." I said, "Well, how much is it?" And he, "It was a good price." I said, "Sign me up." 2 days later, they came and they spray. I watched the guy. He's got the big mask on, and he's spraying all the bushes and everything. And I go out the next day. I'm getting all bit up. I said, "Well, what good was this spray?" So I said, "Well, maybe it takes 48 hours or something like that." I go out the next day, I'm getting all bit up. So I call him up. I call up the company. And I says, "You know, you came and sprayed." I says, "But I still got a problem with mosquitoes." She said, "Well, let me look it up." "Oh," he says, "that's because," he says, "you signed up for tick spray." I says, "No, I didn't. I signed up for mosquito spray." He said, "Well, the contract here says tick spray." I said, "Well, I don't have a problem with ticks." He says, "All right, you know, we'll come back." So they come back and spray again. 2-3 days later, I'm still getting all bit up. Well, this, make a long story short, this went on. I finally get a, listen to this, I get a call from the home office in Ohio. "Mr. Pagarulo," he says, "I see you've been a faithful customer for us for years, and I see you just signed up for tick spray." I said, "I didn't sign up for tick spray." He said, "Well, I was wondering if you would be interested in mosquito spray." I said, "That's what I signed up for." They came back again. I think 4 times. Finally, the last time, the guy pulls up with the truck. I happened to be there. I said, "What are you spraying for?" He says, "Mosquitoes." I says, "Thank God." I said, "The season is over now. Now you're going to spray for mosquitoes." So I have no mosquitoes now. It's really one. They're probably all dead anyway from the cold. But you go crazy with these people. But anyway, I love the fall because to me, I don't know. I know it's a pain in the neck with the leaves and everything, and you got to clean up. But the temperatures and the bugs are gone. You don't have to mow the grass as often and so on and so forth. And I love it. With one exception. I know that winter's coming. That's the only exception. I like spring, too. But, you know, spring has its problems, too. I mean, I love when, you know, the winter is coming to an end and you get that first day, you go out there and it's not that biting cold anymore. And you can actually sit and feel the warmth of the sun. But with that, too, you know, very soon the mosquitoes are going to be back and the weeds are going to start growing. But I love November. I love November. I love the fall. But like I said, winter is coming. And winter can be long and dark and cold. Yes, we have the holidays. I know they're great. You know, we look forward to everybody starting to decorate their houses and whatever and the lights. And you kind of don't think about the cold so much, and because it's just such a joyous season. Even in the world, as you go around, people just seem to have a little lighter step, you know, a little bigger smile on their face, and everybody just seems to be different during the Christmas season. It's great. But afterwards, you know, after, say, January 2nd, now you're in the dead of winter, you know, and then maybe you get that first snow. You know that first snow, how beautiful it is? All right, you see it falling. Hey, we got the first snow, and it's so white and it's so clean. And I don't know what it is, but it seems like whenever you get a snow, right after the snow stops, the sun comes out. Blue sky and the sun comes out. Oh man, it's beautiful. And thank you, Lord, it's so glorious. And but then you got to start shoveling it. And by the second snow, it's not quite as pretty anymore. And by the third snow, you're going, all right, Lord, enough is enough. It's not pretty at all anymore. And now you're in the grips of the dead of winter, and you start counting the days until spring. Let me ask you a question. Why do you think God made seasons? I mean, he could have made it springtime all the time. Early spring. 68 to 72, no bugs, no weeds. I mean, he could have made it that way. Why do you suppose he gave us seasons? Now, you know, in the natural, I don't know if we could really ever really answer that. But the one thing that comes to mind is I don't think we'd really appreciate spring without having gone through winter. Isn't it true? You know, when we first got married, we moved down to Florida for a while. We were there about, I don't know, 2.5, 3 years. Southern Florida. And down there, the seasons go from hot to hotter to hottest. Back to hotter, back to hot. And you know, you almost never really had to be concerned if you were planning an event. It was almost one day after the next. It was almost always okay. You might get a little shower or something like that. But you just kind of start to take it for granted. But up here, when you've gone through a harsh winter, and all of a sudden you start to see the signs of spring, man, you appreciate it so much more. Isn't it true? You start looking forward to that spring. You know, I've shared many times, and I'll say it again. I believe that God uses so many of the things in the natural to give us insight of what's going on in the spiritual. And I believe he's given us seasons in the natural as a reflection of how we go through seasons in our own lives. Wouldn't you say that? We go through different seasons in our lives. I mean, there's the obvious changing, you know, we go from childhood to youth, totally different season in your life, to an adult, a totally different season in your life. You left your parents' home. You're out on your own. You're in a completely different season in your life. And then in general, in our just interaction in our daily lives, especially as Christians, we sometimes have mountaintop experiences. You know, we love it when we're on that mountaintop experience, when everything is just going just great. You know what I'm saying? But then you also have valleys. All of a sudden you find yourself in a valley. And it can be very troublesome. You know, we have, even day to day, we have night and we have day. Why did God create all of this? Seasons, days. You know, during the day, you can see everything that's going on. You know what's going on, everything around you. Nighttime is a totally different story. I hate to confess this. Still, I'm 77 years old. When I have to bring the garbage out at night, I can't wait to get back in the house. Is there a raccoon? Is there something? Come on. Don't tell me you don't step a little lively back when you're on your way back to the house. You can't see what's going on around you. You don't know what's going on. Especially when we lived in North Babylon, our garbage pails were on the side of the house. It was pitch black. We had so many raccoons. We had some rats there. Man, I was always hoping nobody would see me, but, you know, I'd go out, I'd put the thing in the pail, and I'd start, you know, a little faster. Yeah, I want to get back into the house. But even the difference between day and night. And then we go through seasons where you have floods. It rains, forget about it. Rains and it never stops. Then all of a sudden you go into a drought. To me, these are all reflections of things that go on in our lives. There are times when our life is just being flooded. Sometimes, and hopefully more often than not, in a good way, with the presence of God, the Spirit of God, everything is beautiful. Then all of a sudden, for some reason, you can't figure out why, you find yourself in a drought. You just can't hear His voice. You can't feel His presence. You can't seem to put your finger on His direction. There are different seasons. We have to, when there's the planting season, then there's the harvesting season. And you don't harvest if you don't plant. Different seasons in our life. So again, I ask you, why did God make seasons? In the natural, I believe it's a reflection of what really is going on in the spiritual. You know, here we are going into winter now, and there's going to be some. Now, we've had some fairly mild winters the last few years. We really have been very blessed. I think the past 2 years, I take my snowblower out, I get it out, I get it oiled up and all ready to go. And I haven't used it for the past 2 years. Haven't had to. So I'm thinking this year, maybe I won't get it out. I guarantee if I don't get it out, we're going to get 30 inches of snow. And then I'm going to have to go dig it out, you know, instead of having it all ready. And that's the way it works. But you know we're going to have those cold snows. We're going to have those howling winds, those biting winds. But I believe God uses all of that. He allows us to go to that. Hopefully that it will remind, just the way we know that His faithfulness, that no matter how bad the winter is, you know that you know that you know that spring is going to come. Amen? You know it's going to come. Winter's going to come to an end, and spring is going to get here. But He wants us to have that same level of faith in our spirit that when we're going through a spiritual season of winter in our life, know that He's in it, and spring is going to come. It's going to come. He wants us to have that same faith that we have in knowing in the natural the seasons, that we are also going to have that same faith to believe Him for what's going on in the spiritual. That He will keep that covenant that He has made with us every day and every night. He assures us that He's going to keep that word, that promise that He made to us through Jesus Christ. So I say, as you begin this wintry month, Here it is, December 1st. As we begin this wintry month, this wintry season that we're going into, enter into it with God in mind, that He's going to be with you. He's going to be with you, not only in the natural, but even in the spiritual. If you're going into or you currently find yourself in a winter season in your life, know that God is with you. And ask him to reveal to you, what is it you want to show me in this winter season in my life? Don't just grumble and complain through it and try, but ask God, why do you have me here? Why am I in this situation? You know, I've said this before. God showed me this years ago. He says, you know, we find ourselves in a difficult situation. What do we start doing? We start praying, Lord, please deliver me from this. Please get me out of this, Lord, as quickly as possible. Please get me out of this. And you know what happens? If you pray hard enough and long enough, because God is so faithful, He'll bring you out of it. But you know what? You may not have learned the lesson that He wanted you to learn through it. So guess what happens? You find yourself back there again. And you start complaining again. Lord, I'm back in this situation again. You got me out once. Please, Lord, get me out again. And He may be faithful. And He's going to keep bringing you back to it until you finally say, what is it you want to show me this? Why am I where I am? Why am I going through what I'm going through? What is it you want me to learn through this? So if you find yourself in a winter season in your life, don't just keep shoveling the snow and praying that it doesn't snow anymore. Ask God to show you, what is it you're trying to teach me? What is it you're trying to show me? Winter's not a comfortable season. It's not. It can be very cold. It can be very, very biting. It can actually hurt. You ever get that cold that actually hurts, you know? You know, I went through a funny scenario or whatever. Years ago, I guess it was 2008, so 16 going on 17 years ago. We were living all the way out in Center Reach. We had been the senior pastors here now for just a few years, and I'm making that trip back and forth every day. I don't know if any of you use Sunrise Highway for a lot of traveling. It's got to be the worst road in the United States. Ba-da-boom, 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 ba-da-boom. Every expansion joint you feel, there's potholes all over the place. And I got to drive this. So I went on a journey. I wanted to find the smoothest, quietest car I could find. So they had just come out in 2008 with a Buick Enclave. It was their top of the line, flagship. So I went out and I bought one, and I loved that car. This is back in 2008. It had all the whistles and bells, the heated seats, the heated steering wheel. It even had, most of the cars today don't have it now, but back in 2008, that car had, when you receive a text, you can reply to it verbally. It seems like most of the new cars today just have pre-recorded, you know, you can hit, okay, call you back later or something. No, I could verbally reply to it, and it would send my verbal reply, turn it into text. When I remote started it, you could set it, if it was below whatever temperature you want, below 45, the heated seats, the heated steering wheel would automatically come on when you remote started it. Loved that car. Well, I put almost 200,000 miles on it, and I had to get rid of it. I don't know why I didn't get another one. I bought a Jeep. I bought a different Buick. I even bought an Alfa Romeo. Had it for a week. I brought it back. I was too big for it. I didn't fit it comfortably. I went around. I searched. I drove Lexus, Mercedes, Audi, every model of car out there to try and find something as comfortable as my Enclave was. And I think that's how I got COVID, driving all these cars that probably other people would get driving. Anyway, I said, well, you know what? I'm going back to an Enclave. But they're too expensive. And I'm going to get one a few years old. So I bought a used one in 2019. And it drives beautiful. But guess what? The one, how could they have done this? I don't know what their engineers were thinking. Doesn't have a heated steering wheel. 2008 they had it. This car doesn't have a heated steering wheel. When you remote start it, it doesn't turn the seats on and all of that stuff automatically. So I get in it like this morning, and I'm driving like this. You know what? Those steering wheels get colder than any other part of the car for some reason. It hurts. I went out and bought a set of gloves just to keep them in my car because my steering wheel is so darn cold. But I'm just saying to say that how the cold, when you're in that cold, it can actually hurt. So the winter season you're going through can be painful. But even in the midst of that, we have the comfort to know that the Lord is in it. You are not there alone. He sometimes allows difficult times to come upon us. Do you know that? You know, I'm very careful with that because I get a lot of gripe from people because people choose to interpret Scripture however they choose to interpret, and they'll say, God will never bring anything bad on you. I got to tell you something. That's not what my Bible says. He says he sends plagues. He sends diseases. He sends this. He sends that. Doesn't say he allows the devil to bring it. It says he sends it. He does it. But just for the sake of those of you who may not agree with me, I said he allows. He allows difficult times into our lives. You know why? To mature us. To mature us. There's something in us he wants to get at. You know what? Sometimes life can be too good. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes life can get so good that you don't find yourself praying much anymore. You find yourself in your quiet times of worship anymore because everything's just going so great. It's like, I don't really need you now. It's good. You know, there's probably other people you could take care of right now. And I remember going through something like that. You know, in the early years of when we started the school, way back in 83, it was crazy. We were doing all kinds of things, trying to expand. We went from preschool to kindergarten, then we opened up to third grade, then we opened up to sixth grade, then we went up to eighth grade. And it was one challenge after another, one challenge after another. And we, personally, my wife and I, the staff, pray that, you know, God would give us wisdom, God would give us favor. And it seemed like it must have been maybe 3 or 4 years. It was like everything was settling down. There were no problems. Everything was going just running like a well-oiled machine. All of a sudden, I'm sitting in my office and I'm going, the devil's not attacking us. Why is he leaving us alone? And I began to think, we had begun compromising a little bit. When we first opened our doors, any child we admitted had to be from a family where their parents were born-again believers. No doubt about it, had to be. But because of maybe enrollment pressures or whatever, we started to relax that a little bit. Well, at least if one of the parents is born again. And then, do you believe in God? You believe in God? You believe Jesus is the Son? Okay. You know, we began to relax, and we weren't as much of a threat to the enemy as before. I said, we're doing something wrong here. When the enemy's not attacking, something's wrong. You're just rolling along too easily, too smoothly. Sometimes God has to cause those green meadows in your life to be covered over with frost for a time. You know why? Maybe he's got to remove some of the pestilence out of your life. You know, when everything is just going so good, you start compromising. You're not as faithful. You're not as really deep into his word. And God has to bring a little frost into your life, so to speak. You know, maybe you got those beautiful, beautiful stream in your backyard that's flowing just so nice. He may need to bring a freeze and freeze those waters up to make you, to wake you up, maybe to stop you from making a wrong decision. Sometimes he just has to kind of knock you off the side of the head, so to speak. Get your attention. You know, I tell you, I had an experience, and I've shared some of this with you, you know, just recently. You know, I'm going along. Yeah, I'm getting up in my my later 70s, but I feel great. You know, I'm just doing wonderful. You know, in mid-July, I started on a diet. I've lost a lot of weight. I was feeling good. You know, I'm feeling strong, and everything's you know, just really nice. All my numbers are coming down. My A1C is down. My cholesterol is down. My glucose level is down. Everything's going great. In fact, I called my doctor and I said, listen, because I've been on blood pressure medication for probably 20 years or so, and I said, my blood pressure is getting kind of low, you know, on this medication. You know, after I lost all this weight and everything, he says, all right, you know what? Stop taking it. We don't want it to get too low. So stop taking it. Come in next week. We'll check your blood pressure. Okay, cool. So I stopped taking it. I go in next week. I go in, you know, roll up my sleeve, take my blood pressure. She takes my blood pressure. You know, they always have the assistant comes in first. She says, oh, great. Blood pressure is great. I says, great. I get up. I'm going to grab my jacket. She says, no, wait a minute. Wait a minute. She says, they want me to do an EKG. I said, why? Well, it's you know, routine. We got to do an EKG. All right, I'll sit back down again. Get down, you know, they put all the things all over you and everything. Gets all done. She takes them all up. I'm going to get up. She says, no, wait a minute. She says, the cardiologist wants to come in and talk to you. Okay. So this woman comes in, who I've never even met. They had a cardiologist in the office. Sits down and she says, Ms. Pecorulo, says, you have AFib. I said, what is that? It's an irregular heartbeat. It's usually accompanied by a very, very fast pulse. But in your case, you have a very, very low pulse, which means you're in danger. You could have a stroke at any minute. I want to put you on blood thinners. Start taking an aspirin every day. I want you to come in tomorrow. We're going to do an echocardiogram. I'm going to send you out for a CAT scan to check to see if your arteries are blocked. I want you to come back in January. We're going to do a nuclear strike. I said, oh, wait a minute. She says, I just came in to get my blood pressure checked. She says, no, you don't understand. Well, I just went from a beautiful November afternoon to a midwinter month. And I walked out of there. In fact, the nurse came back in. She looks at me and she says, that's a lot, huh? I said, yeah, I just came in here to get my blood pressure checked. So I didn't want to hear it. I'm not going to start taking blood thinners. I remember my father on blood thinners. Black and blues and blotches all over the place, and God forbid he cut himself. Those were the old days of Comedin and whatever, but now they got this new stuff, Eliquis and whatever. It's not quite the same. I said, I'm not going to start taking all that. Cholesterol medication? No way. I've heard all kinds of bad things about it. I'm not taking that. And I get home, and you know, I'm thinking, I mean, I've already lost 5 of my siblings, you know, for the different things, you know, and I'm not getting any young. So I decide I'm going to call my cousin in Italy, who's a very renowned doctor over there, very brilliant, brilliant man. And we have a really close relationship. So I finally I wait till the time is right, you know, because of the difference, and I call him. So I explain to him what's going on. He says, Eugene, listen to the doctor. Do what she says. Take the medication. She says, you don't want to fool around with this. I said, oh, man, that's not what I wanted to hear. So now, you know, I feel great. I feel wonderful. But I bought one of these stupid little machines. You know, you can check your own EKG at home. And every time I do it, AFib, AFib, AFib. All right. So I'm using that as an example. You could wake up one morning, it's the sun is shining, everything is wonderful. And by afternoon, you're in the middle of a blizzard. Okay? Why? So I'm asking God now, why? Why? And it could be just very simple. It could be just, hey, you're not a young kid anymore. You got to slow down. You can't do what you used to do before. You think you can, but you can't. This body doesn't last forever. It may be just as simple as that. But we have to understand that God is in the midst of everything. Everything. Don't complain through it. You know, we tend to complain, oh, come on, Lord, why me? Well, why not you? That's one of the most stupid things I think we could ever say when something happens. Why me? Like it should be better for somebody else to go through what you're going through? Who are you? I don't know why you do it. Why me, Lord? Oh, gosh. But, you know, different things come along in our life. Losses. You can have especially today with the stock market and everything going, you could be a millionaire one day and a pauper the next. And you got to wonder why. I'll tell you another quick story. Years ago, you remember, I don't know how many years ago, it had to be 15, 16, 17 years ago. All of a sudden, it's a time when you could start doing day trading on your own, you know, from your own, on your own computer. So I'm thinking, I'm this great whiz guy with numbers and figures or whatever. I said, I'll try dabble with. Let me take a couple thousand dollars and just take a chance or whatever, you know. But, you know, try and use as much wisdom. And I go, hey, I just made $4,000. So next day, just, how's it going? Well, I just lost $2,500. You know, anyway, like this, like that. Well, anyway, I came across this one that just, it had a pattern, and I started investing in it. I invested in it, and I'm watching it every day. And it's doing great. It's doing great, day after day. And I could watch it. I could watch. Well, anyway, in those days, we used to go away on a conference in the school. It's called the MAXA Conference, Middle Atlantic Christian School Conference. And we would go down to, I don't know where it was, in the Carolinas, someplace or something like that. And we go down there. And I get in the hotel room, and one of the first things I do is I get up my phone and I go and I say, let me see how it's doing. What? It's down 80 points? Well, let me go in and stop it. At least, you know, to stop my losses. Well, the app won't work. Well, let me call. I can't get through. Anyway, I says, why, Lord? I'm on a Christian conference. I'm down here to do your work. He was teaching me a lesson. You know, don't trust in this. You shouldn't be doing this. All for a reason. If I had been home, I could have monitored it. As soon as I saw it go down $5, I could have sold it. But instead, ended up losing a whole bunch. Just saying. God is teaching you something, no matter whether it's a loss you're going through, some cross you have to carry, a heaviness that's come upon you, a sickness, a thousand other problems, but it's all part of Him refining you. You have to see that. You have to see that. It's all part of His design. I mean, think about it. Just like I mentioned before, He created frost and the cold to kill those pesky insects. Even curtailed diseases a little bit. He uses that to prepare the earth, to sweeten up the earth so that when the spring comes, it's ready for you to plant more. We have to pray that in the winters of our affliction, first of all, you pray that He shorten the season, teach you what He has to teach you, learn what you need to learn, and shorten the time of the affliction. You know, we love it when it's warm. We love even in the winter when you're sitting around, maybe if you have a fireplace or something, you know, and you feel that warmth. You know, years ago, when we first moved into North Babylon, we bought this house, loved the house, but it had, in those days, this house had a sunken den. No basement underneath. It was just on a cold cement slab with these thin, you know, asbestos square tiles they used to use back then. horrible windows, an outside door, a garage door. You go in there, it was like walking into the refrigerator. So the first thing I did was work on the room. I raised the floor, insulated it. I dropped the ceiling, put in more heat, put in better windows. And the last thing I did is I want to put in a fireplace. So I had the guy come in and build this beautiful stone, real wood-burning fireplace, which I found out very quickly is a real pain in the neck. You got to go out and get the wood in the night and wonder if there's raccoons going to chase you. Are there bugs on it? You bring it in, and my wife's getting mad because I'm dropping all the bark and stuff all over the place, trying to get it lit. It's a little wet. It won't light. And the smoke is coming in the house. I said, this is more trouble than it's worth. So anyway, now years later, we bought this house here, and it has a real wood-burning fireplace. I said, I'm not going through that again. First thing I did was I had to convert it to gas. Now when I'm on a fire, I walk in the living room, I sit on the couch, and I go, and the fire comes on. And I can sit there. Isn't it something about a fire? You can sit there and just stare at it for hours, right? Those flames, there's something about them. You could just sit there for hours. But we love that warmth. But along with the warmth, sometimes a little bit of cold has to come along. He's got to be our constant source of warmth and comfort in every time of trouble. Don't look to your surroundings. Don't look to other people. Don't look to some fast fix. Just look to the Lord. Draw near to Him. Find the peace and the joy that comes from, like wrapping yourselves in a warm blanket on a couch. Wrap yourself in the Lord and get into Him more during that time. It would be foolish for us to just sit there and do nothing. If you sit there and do nothing in the natural, if you don't sit there and come to springtime, turn the soil and start preparing it and aerating it, well, you just take your lawn. We're not farmers over here anymore, but maybe your lawn. If you don't go out there and you put down an early fertilizer, maybe thatch it, maybe aerate it or whatever, you're not going to have a very pretty lawn. But you do what you have to do so that as the next season comes, you'll reap the benefit of what you did. Okay, so partly what I'm leading up to here, we're entering into a new season here at Full Gospel. Many, if not all of you, should know by now. We're entering into a new season. And although we're planning for it and have been planning for it, I want you to know that, for it's got to be 5 years since we began planning, what are we going to do? We're getting older. We have to make provision for this church. So we didn't take this life. And believe me, we went through every scenario. Anything any one of you could come up to us and say, Pastor, did you think of doing this? Believe me, we thought of doing it. Believe me. And may have even tried it. And it didn't pan out. It didn't work. So although we've been planning for it, we really don't fully know what it's going to hold. We really, really don't. Just like this winter that we're entering into now. Are we going to have a lot of snow? You can look at the Farmer's Almanac. Half the times it's right, half the times it's wrong. So how do you know which half you're in? You know what I love? I hate to talk about this subject, but you see the commercial for this this do-it-at-home colonoscopy test? You've all seen the commercials, right? Have you ever read the disclaimer at the bottom? You may have false positive or false negative results. So what good is the test? If you get a positive, now you're going to turn gray and worry about what you got, go make up all these other tests, maybe have a colonoscopy and test it, and say, oh, no, it was a mistake. And then you could have a false negative. What if you have a false negative and it says, no, you're good, but really you do have something? What good is it? If you have may have false positive and false negative results. Who would go out? Maybe some of you did. Maybe I shouldn't say that. You know, I gotta be careful. But we don't know what we're entering into. The Farmer's Almanac may say a very mild winter, very little snow, mild temperatures, and we end up with 32 inches of snow and it's 16 degrees out next week. Come on. That happens. How many times do they say before the hurricane season starts? We're going to have at least 13 major storms, at least 6 or 7 of which are going to hit the coastal, continental United States. And then nothing happens. And the next year they say it's shut, and then you end up with 4 major ones. You know, you end up with a Sandy or something like that. We don't know. So what I'm saying is, although we're planning, you plan, but you really don't know. And we really don't know totally what the season that we're entering into. And part of the reason is, believe it or not, we're pioneering something very new. You don't hear of churches coming together and merging ministries. I don't know of any in my experience of being in the ministry. In fact, years ago, previous pastor, Pastor Odom, one of his loves was to gather local area pastors together and just talk and love on each other and just share, you know. And they would meet in what's now the cafe. Back then it was the Spanish Chapel. Every Tuesday morning, he'd meet with a half a dozen, 7 or 8 pastors. Many of them were from right over the bridge in North Amityville, where there's a church, literally a church on almost every corner. There's more church per capita up there in North Amityville than probably any part of the United States. And he would always invite me to join them. But I couldn't, because in the school Tuesday mornings, that's when we had our chapel service. And I had to do 2 chapel services for the little kids and the older kids. And I could never be there and, you know, sit in with them. But there was this one Tuesday, I don't know, maybe it was the Christmas week break or spring break or something, and the school was closed. Hey, you know what? I'm going to go sit in. You know, and see what it's like to sit in with all these pastors. So I went in there and I sat in, and we're having coffee, maybe a bagel or something like that, shooting the breeze. And there's all these pastors, and one after another, they're talking about how difficult it is. You know, our congregation, you know, we don't have enough people. The finances are a struggle. It's hard to meet the mortgage, pay for the heat. And I go, yeah, me too. You know, I got this, and my boiler went. We don't have the, and they're going on and on and on. And very innocently, I says, excuse me, can I say something? Can I make a suggestion? Yeah, sure, go ahead. Did you ever consider maybe a couple of you coming together and joining together and doubling your resources or whatever? If looks could kill, it was like daggers were being shot at me. Like, don't even go there. And I knew what was going on. Okay, never mind. It just doesn't happen. So what I'm saying here is we're pioneering something very new here. And just the way the pioneers went out into the West, they didn't know what they were going to encounter. We don't know. So are there going to be? Are there going to be some times of maybe a difficulty? Whoa, we got to overcome this. We didn't never expected this. You know, a situation, a circumstance, or whatever. We have to be ready for anything. But we totally believe it's God. That's the key. We totally believe it's God, and therefore we're going to lean on Him throughout this whole thing. And if we endure this season of transition, if we endure it with whatever challenges it may present, if we endure it with a humble spirit, with a considerate spirit, with a patient attitude, I believe we're going to reap a harvest like has never been seen before at this church. And like I said, kidding around last week or whatever, in regards to this, I says, you know what? You may lose your seat. God forbid. You may come in here some Sunday and somebody's sitting in your seat. And I told you, I know I shared it, I think it was only last week, we had that happen once. And the woman who owned that seat went over to this visitor and tapped her on the shoulder. Excuse me. Yes, hi. You're in my seat. There's 20 seats all around her. You're in my seat. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't notice it was your seat. Can't do that. When we come in and something looks different, it's not the way it's always been. I don't like change. Look, if you were going to go into it that way, believe me, it's going to change. I know Pastor Jimmy. This place is going to change. We're going to probably have a big TV screen over there, a big TV screen. I don't know, maybe one in the middle. And it's going to change. Get over it. God's going to do something good. It's going to change for us. It's going to change for us more than any of you. Big time. Got very mixed emotions. Very mixed emotions. But I know it's God. I know it's God, and I know it's going to be good. You know, when the winter turns out to be very snowy, you could sit there and get angry if you want. It's not going to make it any better. You know what I'm saying? You see the snow piling up out there. I remember this one time we had gone to our place upstate, just for a short weekend. We went up to see Diane's mom, Pastor Diane's mom, and we were going to leave Monday morning. We were going to leave Sunday afternoon, and they were predicting snow, 1 to 3 inches. I said, well, that's not a problem, especially upstate. They do a better job on their roads up there than we do down here. So about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, they're predicting 1 to 3 inches. I checked it again around 6 o'clock. It's up to 3 to 5 inches. By 7 or 8 o'clock, it's now 6 to 9 inches. And I think by the time we went to bed, I think they were saying 8 to 10. I said, well, I got a Jeep. I says, I should be okay. Wake up in the morning. Couldn't see the car. We got something like 38 inches of snow with drifts. I couldn't open the front door. So now I could sit there and get angry. Why me, Lord? Can you dump the snow, you know, down in one of the Carolinas? You could sit there and get angry, or you could do something about it. You could get out there and start shoveling it. So if this season of transition we're going into gets real snowy, all of a sudden we have a blizzard, yeah, you can sit there and get angry if you want, but better off you do something about it. And you know what's the best thing you could do about it? Go out and make a snowman. You know how they say if life gives you lemons, make lemonade. So if you come in here one day and everything is totally changed and everything, instead of, Pastor Pack, we didn't expect this, whatever. No, go with it. Go with it. Give it a chance. Give it some time. I think we're going to be blessed beyond our socks. You know, there's been prophecy after prophecy after prophecy over this church that the latter shall be greater than the former. And I believe that is exactly what's going to happen. You know, therefore, we really want to embrace this season that we're entering into. We'll be starting on the 22nd with this big outreach that I told you. And from there on, Pastor Jimmy and his team and his people, they'll be here. They're not a tremendous church. They're probably about the same amount of people as we are here. But then when we... Actually, the 22nd is going to be a combined service, not only us and his people, but also with the Spanish ministry. So this place is going to be packed. It's going to be packed out. So I advise you to get here early. Don't come in at 20 after 11. You may not only find your seat, you may not find a seat. I'm serious. You never know. Now you could say that's a problem. That's not a problem. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. Man, if I came in and there was no place for me to sit, I'd be rejoicing. That would be fantastic. So let's enter into this season, okay? With a spirit of optimism. Whatever happens, There's a lot of snow, grab a shovel. Or make a snowman. One or the other. Don't complain about it. All right? I mean, if there's anything serious that we have to deal with, we're not stupid. You know, we'll take care of it. We'll take care of it. I'm asking you to trust us. We haven't made this decision lightly, and we haven't made it overnight. And we believe it's God. Amen? Amen. Stand with me, will you? Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the different seasons of our life. I thank you for the variety that you've given us, Lord. That we're never bored, Father, from one season to the next. And each one of them has a beauty about it that's only in itself. The winter has its own beauty. The summer has its own beauty and so on. And we thank you for it, Lord. And even the seasons we go through in our own personal lives, Father, I pray that you teach us something new in each and every season, that we may know why you brought us to that place in our life. And now, Lord, as we enter into this new season, even here in this ministry, Father, I pray you give us wisdom, discernment, patience, Lord, to be able to wait upon you to see what you're going to do, so that we could be your instruments to fulfill your purpose in what you're doing. We thank you for it in advance, and we'll never neglect to give you all the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let me just share something with you, as I'm saying, to just wait and see what he's going to do. You know the scripture, Isaiah 40:31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, they shall rise up with wings as eagles. That word in there, wait. Now, we always think, wait, okay, we're going to wait, see what God's going to do. All right? The word that's used there for wait isn't the kind of wait we think of where you just sit. It's the same word that's used for a waiter. Now, we don't call them waiters anymore. Now, we call them servers. Okay? But it's a waiter. So, what does a waiter do? Can I get you more water? How was the food? Anything else you need? Are you comfortable? That's what a waiter does. He's there to fill and provide for every one of your needs when you're sitting at a table in the restaurant, right? So that's what that scripture is saying. Not to just sit and wait for God to do something, but for you to wait upon God. God, what can I do? You need me to go someplace? You need me to get you something? You need me to speak to someone? And then he will renew your strength and make you rise up with wings as eagles, and you'll be able to walk and not faint and run. And, you know, it's not just sit and wait and see what God's going to do. It's serve the Lord. That's what it's talking about, serving the Lord. Be a server, a waiter. Amen? That's what it's all about. So in this season, let's wait upon the Lord. See what he wants to do, how he's going to do it, who he's going to do it through. Amen? Amen. Praise God. God bless you.